How are we doing? Salutations. I am about to fall asleep. No, I am a bit tired though, but I feel good. I'm blessed, highly favored. You get what I'm saying? Like, I just want to continue to talk about what the main center focus of the last two episodes was, which was abandonment issues. And I want to recognize and acknowledge myself for being able to be open about that. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, where we've been in a very sensitive time for quite a while, and we feel as though, you know, because, you know, we have these insecurities or these flaws, you know, we're no good, or we're not perfect, or we're not good enough. First of all, there's nowhere in a rule book saying that we have to be perfect. There's nowhere does it say in a book where, you know, we have to be good enough for someone and their criteria. I mean, I get it definitely on the ladies' side, where most of these social, or I would say most and all of these social inequalities and standards stem from men and their perspective, all the way from, you know, the beginning of time to the 1900s, you know, the 20th century and all of that. And I get that perspective. But I've stopped looking at myself in a group long time ago and looking at myself as the individual. You know, yes, I'm a man, but at the same time, I'm also a person with individual feelings, individual opinions, individual thoughts. And I can't allow myself to get cooped up and get in the moment of putting myself into other people's opinions and perspectives, especially of me. You get what I'm saying? Sure, opinions are, you know, they're needed in very important, you know, times. But at the end of the day, the most important opinion about myself is coming from me. I made a decision a long time ago where I'm gonna stop being so embarrassed and shameful of where I came from. You get what I'm saying? Like, if I allowed myself to believe that where I was born, where I was living, was going to be my life for the rest of my life, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be striving for greatness. I wouldn't be striving every day to be a better version of myself. I would say, well, I was born in a bad place, so I'm supposed to stay there. That's not how it goes for me. Yeah, a little bit of like the astrology thing is like, well, I was born at this time and this day, so, you know, expect me to be a not nice individual. To me, that doesn't make sense, and it's just a bad logic in life. But if you allow yourself to live by these rules, it's like, what I don't understand is time was man-made, and you're going to use that instrument or that measurement of life for your advantage, for your sake of allowing yourself to be in a box. I can't say that I was born in a, I mean, I could say, oh yeah, I was born in a toxic household, so I'm gonna be toxic. Where's the growth in that? You get what I'm saying? Yeah, my parents hated each other and weren't nice, so when I have a kid, I'm gonna just be just like my dad, and his mom and I are just gonna be, they're gonna be just like how my mom and dad were to each other. That's not right. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, and it's not fair. Like, I just don't understand it, you know? You have to strive to be better than what's been given to you. Sure, you can say, you know, I was born in a bad neighborhood, and for a while I had it bad, and I didn't think I would ever be able to get out of that. But there's going to come to a place, there's going to be a place in your life or a time in your life where you're going to have to make a real, real important decision. Are you going to be better than where you are? Or are you going to allow yourself to become just the same person you were when you were first there? I mean, I've lived in good cities. I've lived in bad parts of good cities. I've lived in good parts of great cities, i.e. Los Angeles. But I've been through downtown almost every day. There's good parts of it and there's bad parts of it. There's pretty parts of it. There's not so pretty parts of it. On one side of the street, it's pretty. On the other side, it looks like a dump. It looks like a wasteland. And you can allow yourself to be on the good side of the street and say, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep this good. I want to keep doing what it takes to maintain this. And then what if you're on the other side? Are you just going to say, well, you know, I'm already here on the bad side. So, you know, there's no use of being better. There's no use of trying something different. There's no use of, you know, obtaining anything better than what's already been given to me. It just doesn't make sense to me. And maybe I'm a bit, not biased, but maybe a bit privileged in the fact that my privilege in life is that I've never had actual privilege in life. And so it's easy for me to say, go get it. Because every day, and for most of my life, I had no choice but to go get it. My family had no choice but to go get it. Versus, just be outside in 10 minutes. It's on its way. I never had that. And when I did have that, it was because I made that happen. Whether it was DoorDash or $1,000, you know, package, I made that happen. You got to want to be better than what's been given to you. You just have to. And if you don't, you're going to find yourself and you're going to keep finding yourself complaining about being in the same spot for the rest of your life. You know, I had an interaction with a homeless person last night, technically, where he had a cup, like a soda cup, asking for change. I told him, I don't have it. I don't carry change. And anything I give to homeless people is going to be a drink or that I bought and I'm not going to finish, or it's going to be snacks that I bought or I brought with me that I feel too bad to eat. So I'm just going to give it to them. But I rarely give money or change. If I have change, it's for a reason, you know, laundry. Anyway, and I told this guy, hey, man, we are broke. We are going through struggles. Don't be mad at me that I don't have the means to give you what you need. Sometimes I can't even give myself what I need. You get what I'm saying? Like, homeless people, it's obvious that they're struggling. I'm in a position where people that are watching this are in a position where it's not so obvious. I more than most will be transparent with what I'm going through and let people know this isn't a good time for me right now, or I'm having a hard time in life at the moment. Some people, they aren't so obvious or aren't so transparent, which is fine. But, you know, most people I know are struggling, but they're not letting it be known. And it's not fair to them. It's not fair that they don't feel, that they can't feel it. Maybe they're not feeling comfortable enough to say it online. Maybe they're not feeling, you know, they're not motivated to let people know. You don't have to go online and say everything detail for detail about what you're going through. But if you feel like you have like a good following on social media, especially if you're an artist. You know, I'm an artist. I make music. I do a podcast. And I would like to let my followers know as well on what I'm doing musically or podcastly. hey, this is happening right now. Please pray for me. Please keep me in your thoughts and prayers. I mentioned before, I haven't mentioned it on the podcast, but I went to the urgent care and the ER for most of my entire 4th of July. I had that day off, and I spent most of my day at the urgent care getting tested and at the emergency room getting more tests because of a heart condition, which isn't life-threatening, but it's not normal. And I can't say it, so I'm a badly pronounce it, but it's called sinus arrhythmia, which is like my heart isn't beating correctly. My heart isn't beating right, normally. And it's a scary thing. It's a scary thing. And I have mentally switched without me even consenting to this in life, where I am no longer letting things bother me. I'm not letting certain people in certain situations get my anxiety high. My I don't say blood pressure, but I sound really old by saying that. But I'm not getting myself riled up. I don't mean to, this is no exaggeration, but from what the doctors have said, I can't, like, my heart can't take any more stress. I can't. And I've mentioned this on previous podcast episodes, a little bit after when I got back from my family's house. But I've had two funerals. My great aunt, who I love dearly, and a cousin that I never saw so much, but I love dearly. My auntie passed in her sleep. My cousin passed away from cancer. And not having my auntie in this life anymore hurts. And a part of me tries to distance myself from even the good memories of me and my aunt. Because with remembering the good memories, I have to remember that there's no more. Is it healthy? No. Do I feel like I'm physically hurt from these things, from doing so? No. But I know that it would be important to me to acknowledge and accept. And I'm not close to doing either of those. Because when it comes to family, I am selfish. When it comes to the people I love, I am selfish. I want to love you. I want to give you the world. And I want to give you your world, your desired world in this life. Dealing with my aunt passing and having to, because I wasn't going to miss the funeral, let's be real. This is an auntie that I've known my entire life. It was very stressful trying to figure out how I was going to get there. Because it's one thing to buy like a one, it's one thing to buy like a one-way ticket, but a round-trip ticket isn't so easy. And I found myself in a very conflicting financial situation. And thank you, Shantavia, my sister, my actual sister. Not like when I say like a friend of mine that's really good to me, my brother, she's my real sister. Thank you, Shantavia, for helping me. And, I found myself when I came back in a very tight financial burden. And I found myself now in the present day no longer dealing with said financial burden so much. And it makes me feel better knowing that I didn't give up, knowing that I had God on my side, knowing that I had my family praying for me, knowing that I knew no matter how hard it gets, I will find a way. I've always found a way. And it hurts. Finding, it's kind of like El Chapo. I think it was like the first or second time he escaped through the tunnels. That's not an easy operation. Like, it's one thing to have, like, to be in prison, to imprison yourself mentally, physically in your own room, right? And the imprisonment is already bad and hard enough to deal with. Getting out of it is hard as well. It may be even harder. Remember that episode of Euphoria in season 1 when Rue got really depressed and started watching Love Island? Now, let's time out for a second. I have no objection to being depressed and finding something that you really like or trying something new and putting your entire attention to it. But if I was in that position of being depressed in bed and watching Love Island, I guarantee you watching Love Island would have increased my depression by a lot. Okay, she's stronger than me for being able to handle all of that in that show. But back to being serious, the depression is already hard enough. In the midst of being depressed and watching that show, she had built up so much bladder in her body that her kidneys, if I'm not mistaken, she started gaining a kidney infection, and her crawling to the bathroom was very difficult. Her mission to obtain the toilet, to get to the bathroom, to get to the toilet, was almost as difficult, if not more difficult, than the depression, the first state that she was in, the depressed state that she was in. And it has to be acknowledged that the adversity is hard. The getting through it would be as hard. It's going to be tough as well. Maybe that's what people are afraid of. It's, well, I'm already in this bad position. There's no use of trying to get out of it because it's almost nearly impossible. I understand that mentality. Definitely when you're in those moments. But what I'm trying and what I'm telling you is, you can get through it. You can get through it. What I'm telling you is, through the adversity and getting through the adversity, it's going to be hard. But you can get through it. As much as you're willing to give, always give it your best, your purest. You don't have to do anything for anyone. Really, real talk. But I love that when people do things selflessly, it can help make someone's day. Listen, look, I have this championship. I have this championship. It makes me feel good. Makes me feel good. It does. It makes me feel better at times. I like to go on my walks with it because it's pretty to look at. It's all glimmering in the sun and everything. But what I realized was, when I'm wearing this, I have an opportunity to make someone's day. I love professional wrestling. I grew up watching it since I was 8 years old. And there's people that are 40 years old, 50 years old, even 30, 60 years old. People older than me who grew up watching the WCW, the WWF, the 80s, 70s wrestling. They see this. And I'm telling you this from personal experience and from recent experience. They see this and it brings back memories. It brings back memories of their childhood. It brings back memories of their childhood that was good, that was positive, happy, uplifting. That's why I continue to wear that around my shoulder when I go out. Because not only does it make me feel good, it makes other people feel good. When I bought this because I had made a fitness plan or goal and I obtained it. I was consistent with it. And as a way to reward myself after I paid all my taxes, I bought this. I bought this for me. But I keep it for everyone else. No, I'm not a professional wrestler, but I do have admirations to get in that industry after I've broken through enough in music. But I'm a fan of something that people, that I'm a fan of something that other people are fans of. And that's how I can make connections, real connections. I love that.